We're into week two of our series, Summer in Psalms. And I thought what better opportunity with us being in hubs this week rather than in a service together to get outdoors and enjoy sharing a psalm with you, enjoying this beautiful summer weather. And so last week we were looking at Psalm 23, and we're going to look at the second part of that today. But let's read the psalm together. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The psalm gives us these two contrasting scenes. I wonder if you noticed them. We saw last week, scene one, these beautiful hills, rolling green meadows, the sheep in pasture, places of plenty, quiet streams. And in the second part of the psalm, there's another scene, isn't there? There's a scene of a dark valley. David describes this dark valley. And for the audience at the time who would have heard this song sung or sung this song themselves, they knew of the dangers of the valley. Now, for the Jewish people in the ancient world, these safe places were on the mountaintops, those rocky outcrops where they could fortify cities, where they could be safe, where chariots couldn't reach them. And valleys, perhaps a little bit like this scene behind me, were places of darkness. They were places where thieves or bandits would be lurking in the shadows. And I find it really interesting that we have those two scenes in this psalm. And I think we should find it comforting that both of those are there. Because you see, I would suggest that a lot of Christians have got a really good green meadows theology. They know the Christian life and they enjoy the Christian life when life is going well, when they're in seasons of plenty, when there's green pastures, quiet streams, when there's peacefulness. And yet then we have times in our life where it's more like a dark valley. And I think some of us miss that understanding of the way that life is. We think that life should be green pastures all the time. And so when life poses some trouble for us, when things get hard, we start to say to God, but this isn't what I signed up for. God, why aren't you making life easy for me? Even the disciples struggled with this green pastures theology. Over in John 16:33, Jesus is speaking to the disciples and he confronts them on it. He says to them, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So Jesus says to them, trouble will come, but in me you'll find peace. Back in Psalm 23, it's easy to overlook that in verses 1 to 3, that David is talking about the shepherd. But when he gets to verse 4, he speaks to the shepherd. You see, in those times of green hills, green pastures, the shepherd is out the front. It's leading and guiding the flock. But in the dark valley, or as David talks about, the valley of the shadow of death, David can say, I'll fear no evil, for you, the shepherd, are with me. So here in the valley, the image is not of the shepherd out in front of the sheep. The image is of the shepherd who is alongside the sheep, protecting them. David knew about the protection of a shepherd. Over in 1 Samuel 17, David, the shepherd boy, is in front of the king Saul. And Goliath has been threatening the Israelites, and this shepherd boy appears, and Saul doubts that David is actually going to be able to defeat this giant. And David says to him, I've been out in the fields protecting my father's sheep, and when the lions and the bears have come, I have gone after them, I've fought them off, and then I've chased after them, and I've struck them down. For David, the key wasn't the conditions, wasn't the absence of fear or the absence of challenges, but rather was about the companion that was with him. So David knew that. He had been a shepherd who had gone after the enemies of his father's sheep and had struck them down. In verse 5, the metaphor shifts again. It shifts from shepherd and the sheep. It says this, "You," talking to God, the great shepherd, "prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." David gives us this stunning image of God inviting us to a table, not in the presence of friends, but instead in the presence of enemies. I wonder if you reflected on who your enemies are, what you would say. Maybe you could name someone, but for many of us, we probably wouldn't name someone. But we might say that our enemies are things like fear or doubt or illness. And in the midst of those things, God says, come to the table and focus on me. Come to the feasting table and focus on me. And David talks about what happens at this table. He says, you anoint my head with oil. Now, oil being washed over someone after a long journey was a step of refreshment. It was kind of like, instead of having a shower, you would wash yourself with oil, it would wash away the dirt. But shepherds used oil too. You see, shepherds would treat the sheep using oil. So as the sheep picked up scrapes, bruises, cuts, infections, the shepherds would use the oil to tend to the sheep, to wash away and wash out their wounds. And so God invites us to this table where not only he refreshes us, but he actually also tends to the wounds that we carry. Sometimes those are wounds that have been inflicted by our enemies, but other times they're just wounds that we've picked up along the way in life. David also describes that at the table, his cup overflows. It's this image of God's abundance. You see, in the ancient world, the greater the feast, the more wine there was. The more wine there was, the more generous the host was. And David speaks of God's abundance knowing no bounds. He doesn't say, you fill up my cup. He says, my cup overflows. It's this idea of wine that's gushing over the top of the cup, onto the table, onto the floor. It's this vivid picture of God's extravagant blessing and goodness. So even in the midst of enemies, God invites us to come. He says, let me refresh you. Let me heal your wounds. Let me pour my overflowing blessing into your life. He says, don't focus on your circumstances. Instead, focus on the goodness, on the protection, and on the generosity of your companion. And then we read the final verse of the psalm. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David proclaims that two things, goodness and mercy, will follow him all the days of his life. I wonder if you've seen a sheepdog at work. Sheepdogs are incredible. These well-trained animals who are shepherding, getting in and directing sheep. If you've seen them, a well-trained sheepdog can't be distracted. It's got kind of a single-minded, one focus to get around, to guide those sheep, to direct them. And this is how David describes God's goodness and his mercy. In the Hebrew, he uses this word, the hesed of God. It's the same hesed that Joseph, unjustly imprisoned in Genesis 39, it says that he experienced God's goodness and his mercy. Naomi, in the book of Ruth, she prays that God's hesed, his mercy, would be there for her daughters-in-law who was suffering the grief from the death of her sons. We read that Job receives the hesed of God in the midst of his physical torment. We also read in Psalms 32 and 51, God's hesed brings David mercy amidst his guilt. Now, this hesed, this goodness, this mercy of God, isn't something that we just read about in these lives of the Old Testament figures, but it's something that's actually available to you and me as well. Perhaps today you're facing injustice. Like Joseph, God's hesed brings mercy that sustains you. For those grieving, like Naomi, God's hesed offers comfort and hope. For those enduring physical or emotional pain, like Job, God's hesed strengthens you to keep going. For those who are burdened by guilt or regret, God's hesed comes to you as well, forgiving you and restoring. And that's the beauty of the Good Shepherd, that his goodness and mercy are constant. They're not just there for a moment or for a season. They're not just there when life is going well. His goodness and his mercy are present also in the valley. And so where do you find yourself today? I wonder where you would place yourself. Perhaps you would say, well, life is going well. I'm in a green pasture. I'm in a place where there's peace and there's abundance. Or maybe you'd say, I feel like the valley of the shadow of death is actually really relevant in my life right now. Whatever your circumstances, I'd encourage you, I'd invite you to do what David does in this psalm, to come to the table, to fix your eyes on Jesus and to trust in the shepherd. Over in John 10, Jesus uses this metaphor of the shepherd and the sheep. And he says to them this in verse 9, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. You see, back in those times, as evening approached, a shepherd would get the sheep and would bring them in from the paddocks, from the meadows, and they would bring them into these stone-walled pens, these fences that had been created to give the sheep a safe place at night. But these pens, they didn't have doors or gates on them. And so what the shepherd would do is, as the sheep came in, the shepherd would tend to them, would put oil on their wounds and their injuries and bring them in to this pen. And then the shepherd would spend the night sleeping across the doorway. It was so that the sheep couldn't get out to places that were dangerous. But more than that, it was so that thieves and enemies couldn't get in. So bears and lions and robbers couldn't get in and harm the sheep. And here Jesus says to the people who are gathered, who would have known this scene, he says to them, I am the gate. I stand here and I call you, enter in, because here in this pen, in this fenced area, you'll find goodness, you'll find peace, and you'll be able to rest. And as you come and you meet the shepherd, you'll find life that isn't just okay and it isn't just getting by, but actually it's an abundant life. And so I'd encourage you today to put your trust in the Good Shepherd. Just as David writes this psalm and describes the way that God is this good and perfect shepherd, I'd encourage you to put your trust in him, to know that when you do that, he promises you not a life that is easy and free of trouble, but actually he promises you a life where you can have peace and you can have abundance and you can have goodness even in the midst of trouble. Let me pray. Oh God, we thank you for this psalm. We thank you for the encouragement that it brings. We pray that you would help us to put our hope and our trust in the Good Shepherd, that in knowing him, we would know a life that is not free from trouble, but even in the midst of trouble, that we would know a trustworthy, a faithful companion, a shepherd who protects, who guides, leads, and provides for us. And so we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.